Goes to Ephesians chapter 1. In Scripture, there are several reasons given why we are to praise God. If you open your Bible and you glean through it, you would find that we are to praise God because He is worthy of our praise. The Lord is a great and wonderful God. The psalmist tells us, "Great is the Lord and highly to be praised." From the book of Revelation, chapter 5, we read of how He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is our Creator, our Provider, our Healer, our Redeemer, our Judge, and so much more. God is great and worthy of our praise. Another foundational reason we are to praise God is just because of simple obedience. The Bible says God is a jealous God who demands and desires our praise. He told us in the very first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." As the psalmist said, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." So in obedience, we should be a people who give great praise to our God. The praise of God should be done out of obedience, yes, but praise should also be joyful. Praise is meant to be something that wells up from our heart. We can say, "Praise the Lord 100 times a day," and still be as cold as ice, can't we? Praise should not just be merely glib or formal. Listen to Psalm 100. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." Joe Thorne wrote, he said, "Why the call for joy? Why can all creation sing and serve its Creator with gladness?" And the answer is because He is really God. "Know the Lord," the psalmist says, "He is God." At times you have found yourself wondering, and I know it's true, is this all real? God, the Bible, Jesus, Satan, sin, salvation, is it real? You don't admit that to those around you. Of course we wouldn't. That's we don't want anybody to think we're thinking that way, do we? But there are times when we question it all. And in His grace, God confirms by His word and His spirit that it is true. He is God, and the reality of your theology gives you joy. What you believe is not a religious game or a mandate or a man-made crutch upon which you lean for a little assistance. Rather, it is the divinely revealed truth that makes you who you are and gives you cause to rejoice. You can rejoice not only because He is God, but because we are His people. And as such, He protects us and provides for us in all ways necessary for us to know Him more fully, enjoy Him more deeply, and make Him known more widely. Our joy comes from truth, the truth of His word. And brothers and sisters of Providence, you can rejoice and praise God because His love remains on you now and forevermore. It never dries up. It never runs low. It never fades out. His love endures forever. So then praise should be made to God because he is worthy. It is an act of obedience, and it should be filled with thanksgiving and joy. And led by God's Spirit through his word, through his truth, our theology, our study of God, creates in us a spirit of joy and praise. So, if we are to praise God, we praise him out of his truth. And this morning, the truth I would like to direct us to is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. If you will take note, you will see that this passage opens up with praise to God and closes with praise to God. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse 14. To the praise of his glory. So here we have two bookends. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it ends with to the praise of his glory. And between these two bookends, from verse 3, from verse 4 to verse 13, we have all the reasons why we should be blessing God and giving praise to his glory. So in our text, the reason Paul praises the Father is because he says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You know, we live on earth and we are subject to many good and wonderful blessings of God. Both unbelievers and believers enjoy the blessings of God and his provisions. In Matthew 5:45, Jesus gives us this word. He says, for God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In Acts 17:25, the Apostle Paul tells us, God is the one who gives all life and breath. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. So here's God. He gives life. He gives breath. He provides. He sends the rain. He sends the sun. Unbeliever and unbeliever. As believers, we're not to be anxious for our material well-being. Jesus made this clear in Matthew 6, 31, 33. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So God gives material blessings, and we are to be thankful and as well confident that it is so. The Apostle Paul in Philippi said, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So how God cares for his creation is very wonderful. But in our text, this is not what Paul is talking about. Because he says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, blessed, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Okay? There are material blessings. But what Paul is pointing out here are spiritual blessings. The spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So what are the spiritual blessings that come to us from God our Father and causes us, or should cause us, to exalt him in praise? And we're going to very quickly, briefly, look at each one all right? And it's only a, it, this is really 12 sermons here, but we're going to bring it down to about 40 minutes. All right. The first blessing, the first spiritual blessing we have is our election. In verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Just as he chose us before the foundation of the world. God has a chosen people. And before the foundation of the world, he set his love on that people. Now, many Christians, they struggle with this teaching of election. They find it difficult. God has a chosen people. He elects people. And they feel that if that is so, then what value is there in human choice? And doesn't this motivate people not to live holy lives? I mean, if I'm chosen, I'm going to believe, and if I'm chosen, doesn't matter how I live, I'm chosen anyway, I'm elect. Well, not so, not so at all. Let's look at human choice. What these confused Christians don't understand is that election does not destroy human choice, but election gives us the capacity to choose. As unregenerate people, we could never choose the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul says, of the unregenerate man, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But in election, being chosen by God, God's chosen have been set free from that bondage of thinking the things of God are foolish. The elect have the barrier broken. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, Jesus said to Nicodemus, in order to see the things of the kingdom, you must be born again. You must be born from above. And when the Spirit falls on us, that bondage that we're in to suppress the truth of God, to think the things of God are foolishness, has been broken. And when that barrier is broken, God calls for us to respond. And guess what? Jesus said, all that the Father has given to me will come to me. What a beautiful thing. James Boyce says, before we were made alive in Christ, we had a human will, but it was directed against God and not towards him. We could choose, but we always choose wrongly. When we were made alive in Christ, we received a new nature, according to which God, who before was undesirable to us, now becomes desirable. And we willingly submit ourselves to him. What about holiness? Does teaching on election destroy the motivation for holiness? The answer is no. Election does not hinder holiness. It promotes it and empowers it. Our text tells us that he chose us. Look what it says. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world with a goal and a purpose, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. God is a transforming God. Election tells us salvation is of the Lord. It is the work of the Lord from the beginning to the end. Just in this passage in Ephesians, it tells us he chose us, he predestined us, he gave, he forgave, he lavished grace, he made known his will, he purposed, and he sealed. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Let us praise him. adoption. So we have election. Look at verse 5. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Now, sonship is a gift of God's grace. It is not natural. It's adoptive sonship. We are sons and daughters of God through adoption. Adoption means we become God's sons and daughters, and as his children, we enjoy all the family privileges. I like a hymn that tells us, I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted. My name's written down, an heir of a mansion, a robe and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of a King. Oh, blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who predestined us to adoption. Amen. In verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood. In him we have redemption through his blood. That's the third blessing, the spiritual blessing we have is redemption. Redemption means being delivered from the slavery of sin by the death of Christ. In the New Testament, you could be a slave in three ways. You could be born a slave. Slave parents produce slave children. You could become a slave by conquest. Prisoners of war became slaves. And you could become a slave through debt. A person could not pay his bills, could be enslaved to pay back that debt. And spiritually, we are in that enslavement to sin as well. We are born slaves. Psalm 51:5 says, Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. We were born slaves of sin. We were born in sin. Sin conquers us. Psalm 19:13. Also, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. David knew the object of sin is to conquer, to overcome. And we are all entrapped being conquered by sin. And we are spiritually in debt because of sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We have this great debt to pay. Our wage that we owe, the debt we owe has to be paid, and the wages of sin is death. But in redemption, Christ Jesus sets us free from it. You were born in sin, now you're born in Christ. You're born in God. You were a slave to sin, Paul tells us, not any longer. We are no longer slaves to sin, now we are enslaved to God. And you had a great debt to pay, and now you owe nothing. It's paid in full by Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us to the praise of the glory of his grace. In verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, forgiveness of sins. The fourth blessing in Christ is the forgiveness of sins. In forgiveness, God wipes our slate clean. Romans 4:7-8. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. What a blessing. What a kind act of God. Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has forgiven us our sins, to the praise of the glory of his grace. The fifth blessing is found in 9 and 10. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to the kind intention which he purposed in him with a view to administration to the suitable, to the fullness of times, that is, summing up all things in Christ, things in heaven and things in earth. God has made known to us the mystery of his will. Paul tells us in Philippians 2:10 that every knee will bow, those in heaven and earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. The will of God is to sum up all things in Christ, to have him head over all. And we've been privileged to be given that. God lays out his plans before his people. Ah, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has made known to us the mystery of his will. He seals us by his Spirit, the sixth blessing in verse 13. In him you also, after listening to the message of the truth of your salvation and having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. James Boyce says, a seal authenticates a document and declares that the promises contained in them are true and good. So when Paul says you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, he is saying that God's gift of the Holy Spirit is an authentication that believers are truly God's and that none of the promises God made to them will fail. And this is a gift, a spiritual blessing that God has given to you. Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Blessed is he who has sealed us with his Holy Spirit of promise. And lastly, in verse 14, we have an inheritance who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. Of our inheritance. As Christians, we have an inheritance given to us of God. 1 Peter 3:1-4 tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away and is reserved in heaven for you. That is a spiritual blessing that Christ has won for his people and that God has given to his chosen ones, an inheritance. The Holy Spirit now lives in us, is a portion of that inheritance. He is the down payment of what yet is to come. Oh, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us an eternal inheritance. And I hope as we read through this text, I hope you caught it, that all these blessings are in Christ. They're in Christ. In him, in the beloved, is used at least 10 times in these 12 verses. Every blessing we enjoy is through Christ and Christ alone. Outside of Christ, we are hopeless and without God. Ephesians 2:12, remember that you were separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But in union with Christ, we have all the heavenly blessings. We have all the spiritual blessings that are to be found. As Paul says in Colossians, you are complete in him. So in our union with Christ, we have all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We have our election, our adoption, our redemption, forgiveness of sins, the revelation of God's purpose, the sealing of the Spirit, and an eternal inheritance. Well, why should this cause us to praise God the Father? Because our minds have been turned to focus on God. The spiritual blessings, as wonderful and as they are, really display to us the wonder and kindness of God. It is God who is for us. God is for you. It is God the Father who is for us in the past, he's for us in the present, and he's our God of the future. In the past, he chose us before the foundations of the world and predestined us to adoption. In our time, in our present day, he redeemed us, saved us, forgave us our sins, called us out of darkness into light. And in the future, he gives us eschatological eyes, doesn't he? He says, he makes us look to what lies ahead. I want to read from the Gospel Primer, Martin Vincent, and I want you to put your name in it as I read this. Now, when my time came, and I, Irene, Greg, Jamark, when I placed my faith in Jesus, God instantly granted me a great salvation. He forgave me all my sins, past, present, and future. He made me his child, adopting me into his family. He gave me the gift of the Holy Spirit, who gives me God's power and pours out God's love within my heart, and who tenderly communicates to my spirit that I am a child of God and an heir of eternal glory in heaven. In saving me, God also freed me from the slavery to any and all sins. I no longer have to sin again, for sin's mastery over me has been broken. In saving me, God also justified me, and being justified through Jesus Christ, I have peace with God that will endure forever. In justifying me, God declared me innocent of all my sins and pronounced me righteous with the very righteousness of Jesus. God also allowed his future and present wrath against me to be completely propitiated by Jesus' Son, who bore it upon himself while on the cross. Consequently, God has only love, compassion, and deepest affection for me. And this love is without any admixture of wrath whatsoever. We have a little joke. We said the Armenian flower is the daisy. He loves me, he loves me not. But as Reformed people, I think we have a flower too. How many times have we said, he's angry with me? No, he isn't. Yes, he is. No, he isn't. We're plucking all these petals. God's has only love, compassion, and deepest affection for his children. And it's not mixed with any wrath whatsoever. That's why Paul, with the boldness of a saint, could say there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God always looks upon me and treats me with gracious favor, always working all things together for my ultimate and eternal good. And I know for some of you, scripture is just racing through your mind right now, especially if you've been on Wednesday nights in Romans. God's grace abounds to me through my trials. His heart is filled with nothing but love for me. He longs for me to repent and confess my sins to him so that he might show me the graciousness and forgiving love that has been in his heart all along. I don't deserve any of this, neither do you. Even on my best day. But this is my salvation. And here I stand. This is what Ephesians is telling us about you, but particularly about God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. Psalm 108 says, my heart is steadfast. I trust your heart is steadfast. Oh God, I will sing praises even with my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. And I want to share that psalm. I put it to some words. If I can sit right here. Is that all right, Dando? No, thank you. Yes, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Great is the Lord, great is it to be praised. Great is the Lord, our God. Great is the Lord. Great is it to be praised. Great is the Lord, our God. I'll wake up the dawn with music and song. With music and song, I'll sing your praise. I'll wake up the dawn with music and song. Oh, let all nations hear my praise. For great is the Lord, great is it to be praised. Great is the Lord, our God. Our God. earth. Bow down in praise. Let all creation praise your name. Let sun, moon, and stars, all people near and far, let all creation praise your name. For great is the Lord, greatly to be praised.
To be praised, he is.